This next session, we have one of my favorite speakers, Rufus Nash, who's he's our seniors pastor. He's a man that, you know, you're turning 90 next month. I'm going to tell everybody that. We're going to celebrate your birthday. But Rufus has served the Lord, you know, longer than I've lived. So that's a great, great sign. But and he's going to share. And then Wes it will be sharing after that, right? Am I right on that? Yeah. And Wes is one of our young evangelists on fire. And we're going to, at a later date, after, just so you know, after the lunch, we're going to receive our offering, but not for the men's ministry or men's, but toward the field of faith so we can sow into, because he's got to hit a few thousand dollars, $10,000 more or so before the 1st of August. There's a dream to go to set aside one of the stadiums in one of the high schools and call the young people, and you can share a little bit about it, but to call them into faith. And it's going to happen October 19th, but it's a big undertaking, and the money needs to be set in place so the churches are not put in an awkward obligation. And so there's a due date by August 1st to have the funds to make the commitment to all of the vendors and so such and such. And we're committed to see that happen. And I believe that's when we get that faith of agreement, and then next thing you know, God just breaks open for the San Fernando Valley. And we break open the San Fernando Valley, then it's going to spill all over Ventura County and Orange County and every place else. So it's intentional that we're joining our faith and our hearts toward this. So Wes will follow after Rufus. But right now, let's go ahead and welcome Pastor Rufus Nash. Come on up, brother.
Song I want you to help me sing before we go further. It's the love of God. The love of God is richer far than tongue or pen can ever tell. It goes beyond the highest star and reaches to the lowest hell. The guilty pair bowed down with care. God gave his son to win. His erring child, God reconciled and pardoned from his sins. Oh, love of God, how rich, how pure, how measureless and strong. It shall forever, evermore endure. The saints and angels song. Know the love of God that passeth all knowledge. Thank God for his great love. He loved us with an everlasting love. That's why he told Jeremiah, I love thee with an everlasting love. I've drawn you unto myself. I am thine and thou art mine. Thank God for this privilege to come and witness to the love of God. I was thinking about that, that what we divided up into, as far as the Greek say, that there's three types of love. One is called eros. You heard of that word, eros love? That's more or less a husband and wife type of love. And that love, it lasts, is sometimes it don't last a lifetime. Mine lasted about 66 years until my wife went home. So thank God for that. And then we have what's called a phileo love. And when we think of that love, we think of David and Jonathan.
Remember the type of love that he had for David? He loved him as his own soul. That's the type of his brotherly love. There's a scripture there, Romans 12:10. If you want to put that up, please. Brotherly love. I think that's something that we all, as brothers, should have for one another. Not only have it for one another, but have it to one another. Because many times you can have something for a person and they never gets it. But we should love one another with a fervent love. At Romans 12:10. While you're getting that, also Hebrews, book of Hebrews 13:1, where it says, let brotherly love do what? Continue. Let it continue. Let brotherly love continue. That means for something to continue, it must have a starting point. So when we think of brotherly love and the other eros love, and then we'll go to agape love, and I think that of it all, love begins with who? Yes, God is. I think someone spoke about that. God is love. Not God was love, not God will be love, but God is always is. He is the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. He's God that changes not, even though we change. Our attitudes sometimes change, but God never changes. Aren't you glad of that today, that God never changes? He's the same. He loved me just as much as he did on yesteryear. As much as he did on yesterday, I will be on tomorrow. God loves each of us. And I think that's a blessing. That's assurance. No matter what comes or go, God's love is steadfast. It's steady. It doesn't change. Many times love for one another, it kind of cools off at times. Someone said, our love many times is like a fountain. You turn it on, and then you turn it off. But that's not the love that God has for us. God love is continual. It doesn't change. It doesn't, many times we look on that type of love, as we say, phileo. I think about Jonathan and David. Even though Jonathan's father didn't care for David too much. Saul, he wanted to get rid of him. But his son stepped up and said, he's just like a brother. He's a brother to me. And that's the way we as brotherings. It says, let brotherly love continue. And that was Romans 12:10. Let me get that. What's up there now? Romans 12:10. It says, be kindly affectionate one to another with brotherly love, in honor, giving preference to one another. This is love that is not selfish. Love reaches outside of itself. It doesn't just want everything for itself. And that's the type of love that God wants us as brethren to have, is love without esteeming others better than ourselves. Now, we must realize that if we're going to have God's love, we must realize we should have some traits of God, some attitudes, platitudes, what God would do in certain situations, certain conditions, because he is our example. God is love. He's love from the beginning, and he'll be love at the ending because he never changes. It's good to know that we have one that we can depend on. No matter what comes or what goes, we can depend on God's love because it's always there for us. Aren't you glad of that today? His love never changes. So I was thinking, as I said about Jonathan and David, the love that they had for each other. How that day he would say, I love, he loved David like his own soul. That's love, brotherly love, love unchangeable, love enduring, love without selfishness. So, all right, Hebrews 13:1. Bear with me, I'm trying to get this all together here. Okay. Let brotherly love do what? Let it continue. Like we said, it must be have a beginning there. And who is from the beginning? He's from who is from everlasting to everlasting? God, yes. So to be continued, we must be baptized in the love of God, knowing the love of God that passes all knowledge, all understanding. His love is in our hearts, shed abroad. Romans 5 says, His love is shed abroad in our hearts by what? The Holy Spirit. Now, we must have the Spirit to move upon us. I was thinking about back in Genesis, that earth was void, without form. But the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the deep. And God, we need God to move in our midst. Don't you want Him to move? Oh, praise His name. Yes, He's willing, He's ready, He's able to move in your heart and in my heart and make us, bring us nearer, nearer, my God, to Thee. We sang the old song. They tell me that they sung this song when Titanic was going down, sinking. They sung this song, nearer, my God, to Thee. Even though there be a cross that braises me, yet my prayer shall always be nearer, my God, to Thee. I want to be nearer to Him. I want Him to have His way, and we do this by means of the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit. His love is shed abroad in our hearts by what? The Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit. They're the same. So it's wonderful to have that love shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. I'm trying to rush through my little remarks here. That's Mark 12:28. Would you get that on the screen, please? Now, we talked about eros love and phileo love. We're going to talk a little about agape love. We've heard that word several times, haven't we? Agape love. Now, that's the top, that's the crown of love. That's God's love. That's the love that God wants each of us to have, one to another, one for another. Agape love. It says, then one of the scribes came and having heard them reasoning together, like the scribes and the Pharisees, they tried to always ensnare Christ. They didn't really love Him. They was trying to trick Him. And ungodly love will do. It's not sincere. It's not real. It's out for its own. So having heard them reasoning together, perceiving that He had answered them well, asked Him, which is the first commandment of all? The first commandment of all. Way back in the book of Deuteronomy, God gave Israel, the first thing they were to do is to hear, O Israel, the Lord thy God is one Lord, and you shall have no other God before Him. And this came up during Christ's stay on earth several times. What is the great commandment? He let them know that the first one is to love the Lord thy God. How? With all your heart, all your mind, all your heart. Let's dwell a little on that, all your heart. Your heart is the seat of your emotions, of your going forth, your heart. It must be pure. Jesus said, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall do what? They shall see God. If you want to see God, you must have a pure heart. Jeremiah 17:9 say, the heart is deceitful above all and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Only God knows the heart. David cried out on one occasion, search me, Lord, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. And see if there's any wicked way within me. Then lead me in the way of everlasting. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I want to be led the way God wants to lead me. I want my heart pure. unselfish, not selfish, not tainted with sin or with unrighteousness, but pure in heart, blessed. In other words, he said, happy. Don't you want to be a happy camper? Happy are the pure in heart. Pure in heart. For they shall see God. We'll see God. God is always there for us to behold him. So blessed are the pure in heart. So the heart must be pure with God. Then he said, serve the Lord with all your, love the Lord with all your heart. Don't hold nothing back. We love our wives, our family. We love our brethren. But we must have that agape love first of all, because when these other loves might cease, it might be temporary. But agape love is always there. It's steady. It's always on time, always for us. So he said, to love him with all your heart, with all your mind, intellectually.
Love God with your mind.
God wants your mind. That's the devil's fighting, you might say, camping ground. Get up to your mind. Get your mind stirred up. Your mind, Isaiah said, 26:3, thou will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is what? Stayed on him. You got to stay, not up and down, but stay. Keep your mind on him. Let your mind, the Bible, Jesus said, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. That mind of Christ ruling and ranging forever in our lives, in our deportment, our cares, caring with one another. So he said, keep your mind, keep your intellectual mind stayed on the Lord. Then he said, go a little further there. Your heart, your mind, your soul, keep your soul. Soul is that inner being, that inner being. God breathed on Adam before he came, breathed on him the breath of life. And he became of what kind of soul?
Souls.
That's what we all should be, a living soul. Living not in our own ways, in our own thoughts, our own mind, but we're living a life that will glorify, that will magnify, that will show love for God's love is precious. It's enduring. It doesn't for a moment, but it's for a season, for a time. Then what else? Leave him with all your heart, all your soul, and all your strength. Yes, strength. He wants you to show some physical as well as spiritual strength. Yes, he wants you to. Many times I've seen people come to church and they stick still like a bump on a log. But God wants us to. Emotion is a part of this. Sometimes I don't do that much anymore because I'm a little older, but I used to get out there and dance. Say that both the young and the old shall go forth together in the dance. Praise God. Praise. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. That's what we all, I had a dream not too long ago that I was dancing, and I don't know whether that's going to come back or not, but we never know. Praise God. Praise God. Show forth my love and my care for God by going forth with the young folk, with all the brethren, in love, showing love, dancing in the Spirit, dancing in the Holy Ghost. Praise the Lord. All right. John 14:20. Jesus came teaching love. He said, a new commandment I give unto you. Is that saying that they weren't commanded of old to love one another? Yeah. Well, how was it a new commandment? Anybody?
As I love you.
Yes, that's it. As I have loved you. Because he came as a new, with a new way. Yet it was not that old, because many times Jesus, the Bible says in Matthew, where it says that you've heard of old, it was said, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not hate your enemies, and then love your friends or love those that love you. But Jesus said, what I say unto you, love your enemies. Do good to those that despitefully use you. Pray for those your enemies. So that's the love that God wants us to exhibit one to another. Love that will reach outside of our own little comfort zone, reach outside of our own self into a zone where God is, because God is love. And if we're following him, we're going to show love one to another. Praise the Lord. 14 and 12. Is that up there? Yes. And whatsoever you ask in my name, I will do it.
Yes.
15.
You really want chapter 15.
15, 12. All right, thank you. 15, 12. While you're getting that, I will go to, you got it. Okay, say, this is my commandment, that you love one another. Now, the theme was learning. I think it was learning to love, how to love. And it's a lifetime journey. You don't learn this overnight. Pretty soon, as I said, I'll be I don't mind telling my age. I started not to do. Next month, the Lord willing, the 18th of next month, Lord willing, I'll be, 90 years old. And I never thought that I would live to see that many years. And down through these years, God has taught me many lessons. Many times they were not so easy, because sometimes self want to rise up. But when we yet let go and let God, we can let God will do his thing and forget about us, because he wants to use us for his glory. He wants us to love one another. Love as he said, this is my commandment. Now, you that have been in their service or in the army or whatever, a commandment is not a suggestion. It's not just if you feel like it. But a commandment, you must do. You do it, or else. And sometimes that else will get you in trouble if you don't go and do it as you were commanded to do. I don't know. Many of my comrades, many of them, they were discharged because they couldn't obey orders. They just was used to having their own way at home. But when we get under someone else's rule, we're supposed to go by their rule, go by their commands. That's why Jesus said, this is, not was, but this is my commandment. I command you to love one another. I command you to care for one another. Say, this that you love, my commandment is that you love one another. And we're learning. We're in the process of learning. How much time do I have? Okay. All right. I don't want to get in somebody else's time. All right. So he said that you love one another as God's greatest display of love was when he sent his son to the cross. Bible said God so loved the world that he freely gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have what? Everlasting. Don't you want that? You should have it already. If you believe on the Lord, as scripture has said, you have that life abiding in you now. Said, love one another as I have loved you. Then he let us know that we must have that willingness to let go of ourselves many times and let the Spirit of God work in us. You don't get this on your own. I think it's Romans 5 there somewhere. It says, hope worketh patience, tribulations worketh hope, and hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad. Where? In our hearts. By what?
By who?
Now, you can't have it without him. The Holy Spirit gives you that love that God wants you to have. In Galatians 5:22, you heard that many times, the fruit of the Spirit. The first one is love. Love. Peace, joy, long-suffering, gentleness, kindness, meekness. Another one was temperance and patience. All these are the fruit of, not fruits. He didn't say fruits, did he? He said fruit. It's one. Oh, yes. Joy, yes, joy. Don't forget joy. The joy of the Lord is your strength. So he let us know that all of these are given to us, are produced in us by the Holy Spirit. You can't get it on your own. You can work for a lifetime and trying to be have peace, have joy, have love. But the Spirit worketh in us, both the will and the do of his good pleasure, God's good pleasure. God takes pleasure in giving us what we need. He's producing in us daily. He should produce in us daily the fruit. And we should exemplify this with one another. Starting at home. Someone said home, charity begins where? That's what we used to say. I haven't heard that saying for some time. Charity begins at home and then spreads abroad. Now, we can't love no one better than we will love our family, our loved ones. And then many times we go outside to show love. But God wants us to show love first of all where? At home. That's where we should begin. Starting at home. And I'm going to close this out, but just a few more other thoughts here. Ephesians 2:45 be our last scripture. Ephesians 2:45. Did I say 40? Okay. Two, four, and five. Maybe that's it. It's about God's love and peace. God, who is rich, all of us are at the mercies of God. Yeah. We can't make it on our own. God's grace, for by grace are ye saved through faith, and that's not of yourself. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man would boast. But God, who is rich, there's no inflation or deflation with God. Yeah. He has abundance. I've never been tapped yet. God is rich in mercy, he's rich in hope, he's rich in love. Well, because of his great love, it's great. Great love with which he loved us. As I said earlier, the greatest display of love the world has ever known was when Christ came into the world to give his life a ransom for each of us. All of us was without hope, without God in the world. But Jesus came. What a blessing. What something we all should rejoice in, that his love reaches even me, even you. We don't deserve it. We didn't work for it. For by grace we're saved. And it's by grace we stand in love, stand in the love of God. God bless you. We're gonna close out.
Wes can come up.
Okay. Can I have a word of prayer?
Absolutely.
All right, we'll make it short, Wes. I'd like for you to stand with me. We're going to go to God in prayer, because prayer, thank you. Prayer is a privilege that God has given us all to pray, to pray without ceasing, and realize that it's not us praying, but it's the Spirit of God praying through us, because we don't know what we need. Many times you think you know what you need, but many times you don't need what you think you need. But God knows your every need, and he promised to supply your every need according to his riches in, hallelujah, according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. God, our Father, we come before your throne of grace. We thank you for this privilege, Lord, of approaching your throne of grace, for we are told to come boldly to the throne of grace. There we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in this time of need. Indeed, it is a time of need in each of our lives. Breathe on us, Lord, your Holy Spirit. Let the Spirit of God intercede, make intercession for us. For we know not how to pray as we ought, but he who searches the heart knows what's in the mind of the Spirit. See, he ever liveth to make intercession for the saints of God. We thank you, Lord. We thank you for your presence. We thank you for your Holy Spirit. Move in our midst right now. Oh, God, move. Move in our midst, we pray, in the name of Jesus. Oh, God, look on us, everyone. Search and know our hearts, Lord. Pure our minds. Purify our minds. And give us, Lord, to love you with all of our heart, all of our soul, all of our strength, and to love our neighbor as ourselves. We pray in Jesus' name. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. You bless us, everyone, Lord. Pour out your Spirit upon each one here today as we stand before you, Lord, in your mighty presence. Touch every heart, Lord, and give us to walk worthy of the vocation where we are called, in Jesus' name. And we give your name all the glory, all the praise. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Hallelujah. Glory, glory, glory. Bless your name. Bless your name. Hallelujah. Bless your name. Bless your name. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Oh, glory to God. Thank you for your presence today. Thank you for the visitation of your Spirit right now. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Thank you, Father. Amen. Glory to God. Glory to God.
Yes. Well, I want to honor this house and everyone that's labored in this house. Because of this house, I have an amazing wife that got raised up and just begun a relationship with her father in this house because of so many that poured into her and stood at this altar 4.5 years ago and gave up everything and joined her, and she joined me. It was amazing. So I'm going to share about scars of the past that turn into portals of glory. It's going to get really graphic. Is that okay? So Thomas had an experience on the eighth day where the resurrected one was revealing himself to over 500, it says, over that 40 days. And when Thomas had his experience, in his heart he wanted to see the wound of the lamb. He wanted to see the holes. He wanted to see the proof of where this one had gone for him, and if in fact he really did have evidence of where he went for him. And when Christ revealed himself, there was something that came out of him. It was my Lord and my God. And there's something about glory. It's these manifest attributes of him. And what if our life scars are to reveal him? And what if the things that we've endured are to make him manifest because of what he saw when he endured the cross for the joy set before him? So I grew up an extreme child, athlete, all in at all times, running down the street, screaming by the power of Grayskull with the sword, a He-Man lover, and running and taking out every trash can in the block. And I was just one of those intense children. Even Grace, people in this house have seen our little one, and they would look at her and say, she's intense. My mom says it was 10 times more. I don't know if that's true, but I guess it was a lot. And through that intensity, it led to a lot of different activities that led down some roads. And I want to talk about when I first got pierced with the revelation of the Lamb. And this is a relationship that started over the internet. And this girl starts telling me about her breaking points and the times that she had been broken and how God put her back together and the glory of being broken. And all of a sudden, she starts to explain something that I had never heard. And there's somebody that took advantage of her. In 1 hour, she fought back and she lost the fight. And in the middle of this horrific act, when she lost the battle, she put her hand on his back and said, "Father, forgive him, for he knows not what he does." And instantly I'm driving down the Calabasas grade, and the filth of my heart is fully exposed. Every vicious thing that I've ever carried, everything I've ever suppressed, all the ugliness of this person that has been purchased in blood but has yet to discover what it is to carry the heart of the Father, all of those attributes were shown to me. I saw the selfishness, the greed, the lust, the bitterness, the murder, the anger, the resentment, everything surfaced. And I screamed, "God, take this heart, yank it out of me, rip this out of me. I am a filthy man. I am unclean. Take this life and break it and destroy it and dismantle it. Oh, God." And everything in me surfaced all at once. And this girl had faced so many trials and so much brokenness. And God spoke to her and he said, he's going to be broken much worse than you've been broken, and you need to be there for him. And instead of her staying there, she feared the responsibility. So she fled the coop. And all of a sudden, I go back to a life that I've never, ever expected. And everything in my life died. Everything that I once had a relationship with died. The first girl, in fact, that I had ever loved up to that point, because this was like a new relationship, that first girl that I ever loved, I hear right after that, she's in a coma. She overdoses on heroin, and the drug dealer's hiding all of his drugs, throws her in a back room for 45 minutes. She doesn't breathe. They finally chuck her off at the ER. She's in a coma 2.5 years, and then they go to clean the trach out of her neck, and they can't get it back in, and she's no longer here. The cat that I love like a son at that point, I had idolatry in my heart. I said, the reason why this household has joy, it's because of this cat. Be careful what you idolize in your heart. And this cat would walk in the room and give you these headbutts, and his gut would swing back and forth, and he was just like this royal gato. And like, this cat was amazing. Like, he'd come in and you just spin him around, and like, we had this business at the house, and all the workers were required to spend time with the cat because like, it was like a soothing thing. Like, it wasn't like requirement, but you understand what I'm saying? Like, this cat just had a presence, and it was like, the cat all of a sudden dies. The cat can't even retain any water, and it's a horrible thing. And this cat had so much love inside, though, and then we had this relationship where this cat couldn't even walk, but before this cat died, this cat walked from all the way to the back of the house, walked all the way into my room, and crawled all the way up on my bed. We had to shoot this cat up so many times with liquid just for the cat to keep going, but somehow this cat had this tenacity to make it into my room to say goodbye. All the different things in my life, all the relationships, all the partners for the business, everyone steals the business, takes off, starts their own business with our QuickBooks files, and just everything is broken and torn apart to shreds. It's as if there's nothing left and everything is burned up. And then there's a day where all of a sudden I started crying out for the more, because I knew that there was more. And all of a sudden, God speaks to somebody, and the prophecy goes like this: you've been called to the ministry. This is when I was a full-time businessman. You need to go on a fast and seek God with all your heart. I had never been on a fast. And all of a sudden, 3 days later, I had this all planned out. I was going to fast this certain time, and all this stuff was going to happen. I had to tend to all my different things. And when I was going to plan this fast, God interrupted, and he came 3 days later into my bedroom. And all of a sudden, I'm on fire, and I'm burning hot, and I'm sweating profusely. Then I'm freezing cold to the point where I need a heat blanket. Then I'm throwing up, and this goes on for 6 hours. And all of a sudden, for 3 hours, prophecy just starts coming out of my being, and everything that's coming alive now came out all the way back then. And from this encounter and this baptism of fire, something radically shifted. But there was still something that God was doing. And there was a time where this relationship began in another place. And when this new relationship began, it began on the first day that Siri came out. And this manager, this producer that had this girl under her wing that she was making certain was going to make it into all the different movies and stuff. And the girl was like the cheese that hooked the rats. And the producer made certain she got in front of all the big sharks and stuff. And the first day Siri came out, the manager asked this girl, "Ask Siri something, anything you want." And this girl goes, "Where's my bare-chested warrior?" And all of a sudden it says, "Wes Munyon home, Wes Munyon cell phone," and the voice of the enemy just infiltrated, and this counterfeit relationship came about. And there was a mama in the faith that looked me in the eye, and this mama looks at me and goes, "This is not of God. Do not go down this road." What happens when you're deceived? You go, "Oh, it's totally of the devil. He's trying to take me away from what God has given me." This person was in my life without eyes to see whatsoever. But all of a sudden, my eyes perked wide open, and now this relationship starts. And this relationship led down a path of destruction. This pathway was not a good pathway. And then there's a day where this prophet calls me up and he says, "For 7 hours, God's been speaking to me and I haven't been able to make this phone call." And he gives this girl 7 warnings about everything in her life. And she says, "Yes, yes, yes," to every one of these warnings. And not one of these warnings did she receive in her heart. And all of a sudden, this thing gets broken apart. Everything gets stolen and taken from. We were engaged at the time. All the relationships that I had were completely torn apart, lost everything. And I heard in my heart, "Go on a fast and praise me and set your face to me and release everything that's inside of you and watch what I do." And honestly, there was an 8-day period where I praised him in such a way where I lost my voice every single day. And in this high praise, everything that's ever happened, all the things that I carried of the past, any residue, because this girl had 2 sons, and I'm a sucker for children, all these relationships and these people that had stolen the business and stolen thousands and taken advantage, all these losses, all this deficit, all this hurt, all this pain, all this betrayal, all of a sudden in high praise, in gratitude, in thanksgiving, suddenly from that place, all of it dissipates. All of it disappears. Even the memory and anything that I was ever attached to, anything familiar, anything that was still lingering, anything that was carrying over, all of it was dispelled. All of it vanished. And suddenly it was as if I had never been with that individual, lost the first love of my life, had the one girl that God actually said is your wife, run and flee the coop. All these different occurrences, all this brokenness, all this pain. And suddenly there was this wholeness that came, but it didn't come just because I wanted to be a good Christian and I wanted not to sin. It came because I put my eyes on the one that overcame the grave. And because he has the keys of death and Hades, suddenly he started to take out everything that was still trapped, everything that was still bound, everything that was still layered in that pit, everything that was still condemned. And suddenly out of that place, the spirit of life that was in Christ all of a sudden started to free me from this sin and death cycle of loss and betrayal and setback and going two steps forward and three steps back. And all of a sudden, there was this heart posture to worship him in spirit and truth and to never again go backwards and into these repetitive episodes, but it was to fix my eyes on him and follow him at whatever cost. And suddenly, from that place of following him and not having eyes for anything else, I'm running 100 miles an hour towards Jesus. I can't even see that there's girls around. I'm completely blinded to everything that the world has to offer. And all of a sudden, this prophecy goes forth, and my mom says, my mom, she'd been praying. Even from day one, she had a prayer partner. She prayed every day for a spouse, every day. And then she looks me in the eyes and she says, she's hidden. She's covered in her father's prayers. No man can see her. She's been kept. She's a jewel in my jewel box. She's treasure in my treasure box. And no one can see her, but you will. Same prophet, they gave that warning to the counterfeit, calls me up, he says, there's somebody with you. Thank you, Father. It's like, she's your rock, like, she's there right there with you. I just had a dream. I was running 100 miles an hour, and this one pastor said, the way you find your wife is you go 100 miles an hour towards Jesus, not looking to the left or the right. And when suddenly somebody appears, that's where she is. And I just had that dream, and my eyes were completely blind. Had no vision whatsoever for anything but Jesus. And all of a sudden, the prophet said what he said, and the dream was what it was, and all of a sudden, the awakening happened, and I had that talk with Nicole. And when Nicole and I met, I didn't see her. I saw the angel of the Lord around her, and her countenance shining. And she said that she didn't even see me. She just saw Christ in me, and she had an encounter with the lover of her soul. And we didn't know God was doing this. I mean, she had a lot of spiritual moms, thanks to this house. And she asked them all the time, like, is this of God? But when this happened, oh, it became real. So I just want to encourage us today that there is high praise that washes everything away. And the scars are where the glory comes out of. And there's beauty and suffering. And there's a baptism of suffering. And there's nothing like going through torture, knowing that the one that was tortured for you, the one that was brutalized, the one that was pierced and mocked and scoffed at, the one that was spat upon and had the beard ripped out and the crown of thorns dug into his skull, the one that sweat great drops of blood, the one that was pierced in his hands and his feet, the one that couldn't breathe apart from pushing down on the nail. Oh, there is glory and suffering. Oh, there is beauty and fellowshipping with him in his suffering. Because the suffering that we go through is the suffering that he's been through. And because he's a faithful high priest, he sympathizes with us in our weaknesses, as he was tempted at all points, and he never aborted the mission. So today I want to cry out for seeds that have been planted deep inside that have no evidence that they will ever rise up and bear fruit, to come alive through the baptism of fire that causes the seed coat and everything that that seed is meant to be to rise up with such intensity that you would experience the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living, in a land, as Calvin spoke about, that's desolate and destitute, where there's no signpost that there's any life at all, but that you would experience life from the dead today, beauty from those ashes, and resurrection out of all the things that have been lost, dead, despised, all the betrayals, all the setbacks, all the hurts, all the failures, all the things that have ever been, that the God of glory would thunder. And suddenly, as Genesis 7:11 speaks about the fountain of the deep opening up and the firmament and the heavens opening up simultaneously, that you would experience the rising up from within and the glory of the Father descending upon, and the Father saying, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. Hear him, because his scars are worthy of my glory. Hear him, because you can see me through his scars, because he hasn't despised these scars. In fact, he allows those to be the place that I reveal myself through. So can we stand up today and receive this gift to allow the King of glory from within us to come from within us and come out of us through these scars, through these piercings, through these marks, through these things that the world despises, but these are the very points that God wants to connect the world back to himself. It was God that was in Christ reconciling the world to himself. It was the Father in the Son, the internal bleeding, the bruising, where the Father was connecting to his Son as his Son was shedding his blood. And suddenly from that transaction of the heart of the Father ripping out the Son's heart, and suddenly these ones that were seen not in their sin but seen for who they would become because of this sacrificial lamb that would raise from the dead and overcome death and Hades and give the keys back to those that forfeited in the garden, as he rose from the garden tomb and gives victory to those that would walk in the garden with him in the cool of the day. Father, I ask you right now for the garden of the heart, for the seeds that have been sown in this heart, for the incorruptible, unstoppable seed of Christ that's been placed in the soil of every heart of every man here, that there would be a suddenly. But before that suddenly, I ask you to show them the glory of the death, the burial, and in that place of being buried, in that place of being hidden with Christ in God, that suddenly when that comes, that they would allow you to become the glory and the lifter of their head. For I died and my life is hidden with Christ in God, and when Christ, who is your life, appears, you appear with them also in glory. I thank you for not appearing prematurely, but for working the work within them, for forming yourself within them, for maturing what it is that is on the inside, for causing everything to spring forth in the suddenly that you have ordained, the appointed time that you are causing everything to work together for good. We thank you, Father, that you are hidden and you remain hidden until your sons let you out of their scars. But before, you're going to form yourself in those scars so that when the glory is shown from the face of Jesus Christ, from the scars and the piercing and the markings and that place where we enter into you, now others can enter in through us because we open up our scarred hearts. We open up our scarred lives. We give ourselves away and we say, meet the one that was pierced for us. Every eye will see him, even they who pierced him. Today, pierce us so we don't have to regret that day. In Jesus' name, amen.